chick has a pink shirt on. And it's not like salmon. It's not like...
Oh, it's pink, baby.
It's pink. It's like bubblegum pink.
I thought you were going to say pussy pink.
Pussy pink.
It is pussy pink.
Do you guys know? I got the Aerosmith album, Pink.
Oh, yeah. Pink like your favorite crayon.
Yeah. And I
pink like the sheets that we lay on.
And I got that for my 16th birthday from my friend Autumn. And it wasn't until Chick and I dated that he was like, you know what they're... And I was like, no.
You didn't know they were singing about pussy?
I had no idea.
I'm Chick McGee, and we are... we're off the air. It's my new favorite person to get on the podcast by playing their music, and they're going to call us up and go, what are you doing? Stop playing it. Hey, while you're on the phone, why don't you be on the podcast? It's just like a gun. She's got silver bullets on her tongue. He's deep under her spell. Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. Welcome back. I'm Chick. That's Jess. There's Jason. This is ZZ Ward. It's from the new movie called We're the Millers. This is Put the Gun Down. And evidently, this came out October of last year, and I totally missed it, but I really like it. I feel bad for her because she's getting lumped in with Adele. And I think it's a little bit more ballsy than Adele, and not quite so
whiny.
That's
what you said to me. Or did you say, have you said that already a lot?
Yeah, no.
Is that the comparison you make?
Yeah,
if Adele had balls?
Yeah, if Adele had balls. And I never mind. Adele's okay, but enough already.
It's not like she's putting out tons of albums. She's had two albums.
She's had two.
Really?
Yeah, she was in love, and then they broke up, and now she has a baby. So our next one's going to be lullabies.
So many albums that come out, a song, maybe two, are good. Adele had a lot of good. She had a ton of great songs on this last album.
Chasing Caveman.
Shut up.
How do you find? You say I missed somehow. I missed it. How do you find?
Yeah. How would you have found it before?
ZZ Ward.
Yeah.
What's your avenue to get to new music?
You know, mostly Pandora.
Oh yeah.
Mostly if I'm shopping in a store, I'll hear on Muzak.
He's infamous for standing, you know, next to a mannequin with his phone up in the air.
I hold it up. Yeah. Nordstrom plays some pretty good music.
So do you go there not to shop but to find new music?
He goes to the teeny bopper section and listens to that music. I found a song. What was it? Oh, no. I thought it had something about guns in it, but
you know, every time I see you now,
I have a different phone case.
You have a different phone case.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Can you settle on one?
No, because I change my phone case to match my outfit when I leave the house.
That sounds like something somebody else would do.
But yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I love it. I do it. I don't care. I do it.
That's did you so order not a New Pal thing to do?
Did
is
you
it?
Order?
I'm beyond. I love New Pal. It's like you, where you're from, you love it, and you embrace it. And I live there now. But
now,
I am
what
not.
Mean now
I am not the.
Remember, we're all moving to Chicago as soon as that morning show offer comes.
With
we're
Marty?
All yeah. We're all jetting to Chicago.
But the new song that I heard that I was going to share for a second, and it does say something about a gun. I'm holding the gun, or somebody's pulling the trigger, but I'm not holding the gun. Something like that, and it's Red Hands, Walk Off the Earth. You guys never heard that?
I never heard that. Sounds scary. I seem to be scared by it.
Okay.
Is that, did you get a case like I have? You can put your credit card and driver's license in the back?
Well, here's the thing. I got two cases because one of them was black and white. Black on the outside, white on the inside. And then the other one was gray. It was the opposite, but I wanted a completely white case that I could put my credit card in, so I had to buy two cases so that I could put them together and make a whole white case.
Did everyone hear that, understand it?
People do stuff like this all the time.
Process it.
It doesn't mean it's right, Jess.
That's probably true.
Let's go to the email.
Let's do it.
State Fair booze, it says.
Like as in B-O-O-Z?
Yes.
Okay.
Not B-O-O-S.
Okay.
State Fair booze. Hi, Chick, Jess, Jason. It's Nathan, the Tulsa law student. I just took in the Indiana State Fair podcast about the tragic lack of booze at the State Fair. Here in Oklahoma, we have an Oklahoma State Fair and a Tulsa State Fair. At the Tulsa State Fair, they do have booze. In fact, practically every festival we've been to since moving here has alcohol. All the festivals have alcohol. The Catholic festivals here have alcohol, right?
That's why people go.
Yeah. just the state fair is the only one. I mean, do the county fairs have
alcohol? County fairs don't have alcohol. No.
Chick, I've got to tell you, the Tulsa State Fair is pretty podunk compared to the Indiana State Fair, but the booze definitely gives it a real X factor in the plus
category.
They must
have been drinking when they called it the Tulsa State Fair, because...
You never know what people call...
But that, you can't call it a state fair if it's not a state.
Yeah, but there's like there's universities like Coppin State, and although and that isn't a state.
Mm. And I think there is a Tulsa State.
Wichita State. There's Wichita State.
Wichita State Shockers.
Yes.
The Shockers. Yes.
The Shockers.
That's it.
Hmm.
Love the show. You guys have really built a fantastic podcast. I look forward to it, and it really brightens my week. Well, thank you, Nathan. Chickens. Hello, Ba-da. Chick. What was that?
Ba-da. That's a good one.
I was writing you because I heard you state a question about chickens. You don't know need a rooster. That's the words. You don't need a rooster for a hen to lay eggs. In fact, at a large egg farm, you'll never see a rooster. Unless it is in the section where they're hatching more chickens. Oh, babies, making babies. I always tell people when they ask that question, that's like a woman will release an egg every month where or not there is a man in her life.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to hatch the eggs, then you need a rooster to fertilize them.
Is that what we're doing? We're doing all sound effects?
Spray it all over the egg.
About right before that.
Wait a minute. Does he come up and spray it on the egg or put it in her while the egg's inside the chicken?
Does the cock put his cock in her? No. Do what?
Is that a valid? I mean,
they have to. You have to do it. It's not like, you know. It's,
the chicken and the rooster have to do it for the egg to get fertilized, and then it's dropped out the chute, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there two chutes?
There are like three chutes on hens.
Yeah.
There's a urine chute. There's a poop chute, and there's an egg chute. No
but,
shit.
No, but
I'm not kidding.
No, there's three that. Okay, all females have those three holes. I'm talking about.
No, you got the booty. You got the urethra, and you got the golden valve of the Himalayas. You've got, but you don't.
That's what you just said. You just said poop, pee, and egg.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess I never.
The golden
valve of
Himalayas,
like
the egg.
I'll be daggone.
Yeah, I thought you girls know, had. I thought girl chickens had poop, pee, egg hole, wiener hole.
No, I do. They have a wiener, a specific wiener? No, because the egg would have to be in the wiener hole for it to get fertilized.
No, I mean for if you're not fertilized, never mind.
I just had a thought in my head. I hope there's a young kid out there listening and taking
this
biology.
This is how they learned?
Taking biology for the first time. And
yeah.
We don't know much, people.
No.
Anyway.
And I'm okay with
this.
Yeah. I'm
and by the way, at one time, I did have a rooster named Chick McGee, and he was my smartest chicken ever.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you. Andy McQueen from Oklahoma.
He's
a chicken farmer. More on chickens. One, chickens are easy to feed, water once a day. That's it.
Like a plant.
Two, most neighborhoods allow chickens now as it is hip urban farming. Three, you want chickens. Remember, Jason and Jess are not the fucking boss of you. Get your damn chickens. I'm just not zoned, Jeremy, to have chickens where I'm at right now.
I thought you wanted a dog.
I do want a dog. It's getting worse every day.
I read a story with my son last night. It was, who was it? Meriwether Lewis or Meriwether Clark?
Lewis and Clark. I forget which was Meriwether. There was Jerry Lewis and Dick Clark. Lewis and Clark.
Oh, yeah. No shit. I didn't even make that connection. We were reading a book and it's called Me and Lewis or Me and Clark.
Lewis and Clark had a bunch of dogs on their
exhibition. They had Newfoundland. No, this one is about, it's the story of this
one. Of a specific dog.
Yeah, and he was, so I'm reading the story. My college-age sister is there. My son and I are taking turns reading the story. And he's like, we got this dog, da da da, and it's my turn to read. And I was like, and so I bought this dog and I asked the guy what he calls him, and he said he calls him Semen. And my sister Jordan was like, and then I said, come, Semen. And we both, and Max is like, what's so funny? And just, we were so,
aww.
I was like, you're in fourth grade. And I don't think I knew that in fourth grade.
No, I don't think so. Well,
I don't know.
I don't, maybe not.
I remember the first time I heard, somebody heard their older brother say blow job. Is that right? Okay. We heard in second grade, we heard an older brother say blowjob. And I'm just talking about things that I realized I remember what I meant when that, how old I
you
was.
You said it so slow.
Blowjob.
Really? It was really cool. That's
no.
why Jason and I looked at each other. Go ahead.
No, so, but it was that, and somehow it got turned into, we called it a snow blower instead of a blow job.
That's
so
with cocaine,
kept,
I think.
So everybody kept saying, your mom's a snow blower. And that was the derogatory thing to say in second grade. Isn't that terrible? You guys
that's
didn't think the cum semen thing was funny? Jordan and I laughed.
No, sure, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. hilarious, yeah. yeah. Especially to, well, when he finds out what it, yeah.
Yeah, I
but
know.
It's
I was
really,
like,
that's the thing. It's really soon, though. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He's, well, he's
well, he's always giggled about stuff like that. Though.
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at dinner last night.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be a long story?
No.
And at home?
Bob Zaney retweeted some guy, mm-hmm. and he said, talking about how cheap you can get a house in Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
Apparently Bob said
that's
something,
true,
and
yeah.
this guy replied to it, and it was very funny. It said, just bought a 3-bedroom ranch in Gary, Indiana, has a finished basement, and comes complete with Tito Jackson.
Nice.
Which I thought was hysterical.
That is funny.
Katie, my 9-year-old daughter, says, you know, we're laughing, and then it kind of dies down. She goes, what's a Tito Jackson?
That's a valid, how old is she?
Not who.
What?
What's a Tito Jackson?
What's a Tito Jackson?
She's almost 10.
That's funny. Aww.
And here's the best part. We're laughing at her, and she's still naive and sweet enough that we're laughing at her.
Yeah.
But we're laughing so hard as she eventually started joining in.
At
and
the
then
laughter.
She started laughing at us harder than we were laughing. And it was great.
Yeah. Well, there's no...
I'm going to get pissed off.
There's no better feeling as a kid than making your parents laugh hard.
Yeah.
I'm just... That's,
oh, God.
I mean, there's nothing in the world that beats it.
I don't...
And I even see it in my kids' face when they make me laugh hard, and they, I mean, it just, you know, it gives.
I think there's a, if your parents fight a lot
mm-hmm.
and you make them laugh, that's really a good, you know what I mean?
Right. Well,
because that's what I was.
You don't
yeah,
have
I
to
mean,
come
was,
from a broken home. And
yeah, I know they're, yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I don't, that's the thing is that I don't remember, My dad took us to live comedy when we were very too young
well,
you to be going.
You made your dad laugh a lot.
I don't remember. No, I really? Don't think I did. I really don't think I did. I remember talking just constantly, kind of a lot like this episode. And him not even looking at me or acknowledging me just because he was so busy. I mean, uh-huh. he had so many things on his mind. And I was like, I wish he'd just nod or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I call your dad, by the way?
You want to call him now?
No, not now.
Oh.
But before he's going to take care of me,
yeah.
I'd like mm-hmm. to at least say, hey, appreciate it. We'll be on a way. There's probably about, you know, 6 of us.
When is that? Next
sure.
week? Today?
Next Monday?
Like 10 days from now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, week okay. from Monday.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You going in? You coming?
I've seen the stadium.
Okay.
I'm not speaking to your father until we have lunch again. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, you know
is.
What? I'll don't feel him. Bad because 2 weeks ago I called him and I said, so you took Josh to lunch, which is my brother. They went to
well I understand that.
they went to St. Elmo's and you know for Sweet. three hours on a Saturday and I said can we go to lunch and he was like yeah I'd love to go to lunch
hey that's a great idea
yeah I was like okay nothing
not a word since
nope
well I haven't sent him an email or anything because of Gen Con while
he's
we're
very,
talking
very busy about
he's
yeah,
very
he's,
busy the our biggest what are they called convention is in town and he's kind of in charge of that. I know he's busy.
He works at Lucas Oil.
Yeah,
that's
he's
all.
The man.
God, I hope nobody listens to this that works with him, and they're going to be like, "Hey, your daughter." Sorry,
already,
Dad.
They already sort of know, right?
Too kinda. Late.
Too
yeah,
late?
Probably. I don't know.
Our guest is here, Jess.
Yay! Hi.
It's the one, the only, from Chicago, Illinois.
Illinois.
It's Larry Reeb, Uncle Larry Reeb. Hi, Lair.
Hello, kids.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Until today, it has been like, it's been a couple of years since I've seen you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. It was like about a year and a half ago.
I was going to say, yeah, because we started the podcast and you were like one of our first, oh, we got to get Larry on the podcast.
Oh, dang.
And we just celebrated just over a year doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And
everybody was sick when I came here.
Oh, really?
Tom wasn't at the show. He was sick.
What was that like? That must have been.
No, I think they called it because
and then they called it. I was on for like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's right. I remember this now.
We were all sick. Okay. I figured it was me. I said something. I did something.
Probably the
and
truth.
Try the truth, and they sent. That was it. 5 minutes when I was gone here. So that was about a year and a half. So before that, I hadn't seen you.
Yeah.
Right before I did the bus tour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with Donnie and...
Yeah, April Macy and...
And Shane?
Shane and Dan Cummings.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were on that tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I do a show with you in Oregon?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Forgot I remember all this now.
We went to breakfast. You took me to breakfast.
We did. We had a great time.
Me and you and Dan.
Oh, I'm sure we had a great time.
Don't you remember?
Yeah, I remember you and me in Walmart somewhere in Illinois.
Yeah, that was with Dorfman.
Me and you and Brian and Walmart.
You don't remember? We went in Medford, Oregon, and we had the great big pancake.
Oh, we did have the giant pancake, didn't we?
It was like you're showing a size like a hubcap.
No, it's bigger, almost bigger than the plate.
Yeah, we ordered this breakfast. It came with, it was like, you know, eggs, sausage, potato, and then the pancake was like big as it was like a hubcap. The whole it was like unbelievable.
You know what happened during that? We were in Medford. I got in trouble for that. I was evidently distant and cold to someone who I shouldn't have been backstage at the show.
That was me.
Remember, there were a bunch of jackasses backstage.
And yeah,
it was kind of fraternity guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
What's wrong, man? Hey, don't you party? Shit like that. And,
who says that to you?
You were cold.
Some guy did. Am I right? I mean, this guy was kind of
those meet and greets are always
they're
kind of weird.
They're pretty douchey anyway.
Did you two?
We worked together.
He was on the comedy tour, right?
Uh-huh. He was on the comedy tour. Yep.
Did she ever stiff you? Check? Did she ever pay you?
I didn't write the checks. That was Ian. I'm out.
Oh, that's right.
No, I first met Larry when I was an intern back at X103. You were on the Big Dumb Show a lot back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big dumb guy. I was on that show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you and you being on the podcast with us. But, and the one thing that I keep thinking is, if there's, I don't think there's any other comedian who's so raw and naughty and dirty on stage.
Sure.
And,
I agree.
And not aggressive, but not confrontational, just
not
right
even.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And a nicer guy off stage and quiet and.
That's just, what I was going to say, because when we were working together on the tour, worked together on the tour, I was just like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be a loose cannon, you know? And that was not the case at all.
Oh, you thought I was going to be.
Yeah, I thought you were going to, you know, like make me sort out the M&Ms by color. And no, I'm just kidding.
No. I'm very polite.
No,
you were.
No,
you're great.
I just have sick thoughts.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Here's Larry on stage. Hey, if you're going to keep talking, why don't you suck that guy's dick? And then off stage at breakfast. So how you doing, Chick? You all right? You okay? Mm-hmm. Good. You sleep well last night?
It's just like anything else. It's like people think that you're gay at the bus station, and you're not.
God, if only I was gay,
Larry. The pink shirt doesn't help him.
If only I was gay, Larry. You know how much money I'd have if I were gay, Larry?
Oh, oh man.
Sweet baby
I
Jesus.
I wish I was gay, too.
Me and you, maybe we could be gay together, Larry.
Gay guys have gay guys always have sex. There's no woman to tell them no. Right? It's always a woman with no.
True.
Could you imagine if gay guys must just be doing it all the
time? You know, if no one has ever come up to me and said, hey, do you want to have sex? And I've never said, no, I don't think so. I've always said, yeah,
a
sure.
guy would always
don't
go,
say
yeah.
somebody, say a woman.
If I'm in a relationship with a woman and they come up, would you like to, you know, they start.
When does that happen?
They start whatever.
I don't know any woman that comes up and says, do you want to have sex? If she wants to have sex, you have sex. There's no conversation.
Exactly. What?
There's no conversation. She doesn't ask. She knows.
She just kind of moves around and things are happening and
puts on the stuff.
Puts on the stuff and,
you know, does that.
Does that with her boobs.
Larry is flipping his breasts up. I don't know what that's all
very
about.
Very large ones, by the way.
I got big ones in
mine.
It's
not fair to the woman that they have that power, that they can go, I can have sex whenever
they
I want.
They do have that power. Right?
That's a fact.
How do you feel about that, Jess?
It must
be empowering. What age are you when you learn that? There must be a point where
I'm going to tell you when I learned it early. I mean, not by circumstance, but my dad was just always wanted me to be aware of how men view women. So it was a positive thing that I was aware of it. Unfortunately, I feel like
a little early.
It was just that my dad was just like, be aware, because every guy you meet is either going to try to have sex with you or think about having sex with you for the rest of he was
very progressive, your dad.
Yeah, he just wanted me to he wanted me to know exactly what was going on. He didn't want me to think. This day, I still think that no man really wants to get to know me. They just want to have sex with me. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. It's probably true, though.
I know I'm thinking about it. What about you, Larry? Jason, you in?
When you were talking, I don't even know what you said.
I have no idea.
I was thinking.
What the fuck's going on? She's talking, but look at her boobs.
Look at her. She's pretty. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, but that's true. You got it. But then there's a sense of power with that, isn't there?
I never got to that, though, because I just always felt like I was just a piece of meat.
Well, but the reason your father, I don't want to speak for your dad. I know him, love him. He's a great guy. He's one of the smartest people I know. I think him saying that, he was
trying to protect me when he wouldn't be there to protect me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wanted me. And you know what? If I had the opposite, I mean, I'm glad that I've walked around and had that, because it's made me very aware. You know what I mean? It just makes me realize. And I don't know. I think that with that, I've developed this ability to just like put off this air of don't even fucking talk to me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think he was most worried about, and once again, I don't want to speak for him, but he was most worried about the guys who, yeah, that's all they did want. They didn't want a relationship. Mm-hmm, they were going to, we had this discussion a little while ago about how guys, there are, we see it all the time. Guys who, whoever they're in a relationship, the woman is beaten down. She's, you know, she's an object. It seems to me like it's really a lot more common now than it's ever been.
What do you mean?
The guys who don't think of the woman that they're in the relationship with other than to have sex with her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't want to hang out with her. They don't want to
do
anything like that with her. They don't want to spend any time with her. They just want to cut and run.
A bed warmer. Yeah.
A bed warmer. Yeah.
Young guys seem to be that way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what your 20s are for. You know what I mean? My dad didn't really tell me what to expect when someone did fall in love with me. Like, this is how you should react to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was like, oh, hold on. Wait, somebody loves me? That's neat. But wait, they just want to have sex with me. There's no way. There's no way they love me.
What were your 20s like, Larry?
What was my 20s?
Yeah. Well, you were married. When did you got married? Early,
no,
right?
Well, I was about 29 when I got married.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were.
I had a long.
Were you out
period
there?
When I wasn't.
You were out there.
Yeah, but I never got chicks.
Slinging.
Chick,
it?
I never got chicks.
were you?
I mean, once in a while, but I wasn't
in the 20s. When you're in your 20s, were you
in the
not
70s?
In the 20s.
In the 70s. In his
20s. I was
20s.
During the 70s.
No, but you were doing comedy right out of high school. Or
19, I started.
Wow.
But I had a lot of women friends. Like, I used to have a lot of waitress friends that were just my friends.
Yeah.
Bar people.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have sex with me, so then I might as well just be
friends with them. Yeah.
Whatever. I didn't try to use that. And I was never into going to, like, the discos and that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
The pickup. I hated those places.
It was loud, right?
I always liked blues bars or neighborhood bars, you know.
You sit at the bar.
With a good jukebox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little jazz, little Frank.
I guess it's what you put. It's where you go. It's where you surround yourself with what you're gonna get. You know what I mean? I mean, if you went to a disco, then you probably could have got laid nightly. You know what I mean? Like that's
you never
what people...
seen me back then. No, I don't know, but yeah, that's a whole different.
But when people go
to that, some guys or their whole thing, we're just gonna go to the disco and get laid. We're gonna.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never.
You're just not that way.
If it came to me, it came to me. If it didn't come to me, it didn't come to me.
There's a lot of guys.
Like
that's
still like that.
Don't you?
It's a grounder. I don't dive for him. No.
Right. No. Exactly.
Yeah. If it comes right to you,
you catch it.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot of work otherwise.
Yeah. I agree. How long have you been married?
26 years.
26 years. Wow.
Yeah. That's what my wife said.
Wow.
Wow. What did I do?
26 years.
Yeah.
So, but you're on the road every weekend, right?
Pretty much. Well, I work Chicago about 9 times a year, and
oh, okay.
I take some weeks off. And
yeah.
And were you in Vegas recently? Or the Riviera, or whatever.
Yeah,
is that right?
I go there. Three times this year. I'll be back in October, and I work. Brad Garrett's out there too.
Oh,
so I work there quite a bit. Yeah.
Hmm.
So do they tell you to clean it up at all? Or?
Nah, they don't.
No, care. Don't they want it as bad as they can get it?
Well, they used to want it clean, but anymore they don't care.
Nobody cares, yeah.
Brad Garrett, but the best things happen now, too. They don't care. There used to be if you worked one hotel, you can work the others.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
Like Riviera and Brad Garrett doesn't. Brad's like, I'm not going to stop you from working wherever you.
Right.
And it's not the same people. There's new people there every. It's all tourists. It's not like it's regulars come, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they let you work wherever you want, and Brad lets you do whatever you know.
He seems like such a nice guy.
He's the greatest guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy.
He's out of his mind, but he's a very nice man.
He's funny, yeah.
Well, who could you not say that about?
But he's a pretty normal.
Me? I think you could say that about me.
That's not true.
When you meet him, he's a pretty normal guy, like backstage and everything, but he's the same thing. He turns that on.
I've known Brad for 25 years?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a conversation with him that meant anything.
Really?
He's always, hey, so anyway, how you doing, huh?
I just
need him to calm down a little bit.
No, he wasn't like that. I've worked with him three times.
I haven't seen him for, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be he's changed.
When have you talked to him off the air?
Yeah, you're right. Not very often.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I work with him three times, because he'll come in and MC.
Oh, yeah.
The show, and then you do. So I've worked with him like three times, and off stage, he's just a normal guy, real nice guy.
You see him, you tell him I said to kiss my ass.
I will.
You remember that? All right.
But he turns it on like.
Oh yeah.
It's crazy where he turns it. I saw him in Broad Ripple,
and he was on for about a little over an hour, and he never got to the stage.
Really?
He came in the back of the room and started.
Yeah. Just really?
Picking people.
No microphone?
No microphone. Just,
oh, yeah. He's...
And people, it was one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
And I can't tell you what he said, other than he made...
Yeah.
He picked on me for something, and I said something back, and it was the exchange. Yeah, but that was... And I can't really remember that, but he just killed.
He takes... So I've seen him on local TV shows in Vegas.
Yeah.
He'll come on the mornings. He just takes over the whole thing. I mean, it's unbelievable how he just can ad-lib, but he's really funny. But the nicest guy in the world. You know, he'd take us out to dinner to Wolfgang Puck's. Every time I work for him... He'd shake my hand at the end like old Vegas.
Right.
Thanks for coming. You have a $100 bill in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he tipped me like $100.
I love that.
Oh, he's the greatest guy in the world.
They call that Dukin, you know.
Dukin?
Yeah. Dukin.
That is not what I would think of if you
isn't
said
that right?
Dukin.
Sinatra said that, right?
No.
Sinatra's
assistant was
tipper.
Named Jilly, and the famous quote is, Dukin Jilly.
Dukin Jilly. Yeah.
And Jilly would take care of, or is it Jilliam Duke? No, maybe it's Jilliam Duke. No, it's Dukin Jilly, and Duke would Jilly would take care of all the tips for Frank.
He'd give Shoeshine guy $100.
Yeah.
See, that's what I over tip. I over tip all the. I don't know if you can over tip.
No.
You know what I mean? Like if you were the person receiving the tip.
Nah, there's no such.
You were never like a waitress or something, were you?
Uh huh. In college,
you were an actual waitress.
Is it a fly tip?
So if someone came in the bar and sat at the table, you'd go wait on them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was in Muncie, I was a waitress at the Locker Room, and then I was a bartender at Dill Street.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you over tip.
Yeah.
So was it good money or people, were you surprised about how many people would not tip?
Yeah. I mean, I was a college town.
Right.
Yeah.
So
they did, it wasn't because they were rude. It was because they didn't have the money. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of.
And weren't the drink specials crazy? Like you could drink
penny pitchers. Wednesdays was penny pitchers, and you could get a pitcher of beer.
Oh my God!
For a penny. For a penny.
So what are they thinking with that platform?
It's not your traditional pitcher.
Make that up?
Oh,
it's like a big cup.
It's not
But still, it's a penny.
Yeah, but you get a couple of those pitchers down, and then next thing you know, it's like, well, I haven't spent any money, so I can spend $50 on $7 shots, and you know what I mean? It's just things like that. Yeah,
it's a gateway.
It is a gateway.
Penny pitchers are a gateway drink. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
So can you undertip?
Yeah.
Matt and I just did yesterday.
Oh.
This girl was terrible.
Well, then if it's deserved, it's deserved. Yeah.
I mean, when there's two of us, one of us has water, one of us has tea.
What
she goes
did she
and
do?
Gets them, comes back, immediately has them wrong. I'm like, this is going to be a long lunch.
Yeah.
And it was.
Sometimes they give a penny, which means that's like really bad.
So should I have just given a penny?
Give like a penny.
I would give minimal.
Oh,
I don't.
I gave minimal.
Yeah, I would. I guess minimum for me is actually that would be 10%. That's the least I would give.
I have trouble if I go into a restaurant and I'm not acknowledged after I'm sat down.
Yeah, that's a pretty big thing. I know that.
You know, like you said, not like, hey, it's Chick. That's not what I mean, smartass. I mean.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
My wallet's gone. No, I mean, you sit down and then the waitress comes over. Just, I'll be right with you or.
Anything. Yeah.
Anything. Mm-hmm. Hey, how you doing? Be mm-hmm. right back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sit there for 20 minutes if they do that.
Really?
Yeah, maybe not 20 minutes.
I don't mind it because then I'll figure out what I want to eat. And then I'll just go and drink then you do, and then yeah, do it all.
You do it all at one Boom. Time. I prefer that, actually, to make my order all at once. No?
Have Me you ever too. Gone to a restaurant?
I like to get it all. I'm not along.
Actually, have you? Well, you haven't. I don't. Well, maybe we have on the road. Have you ever gone to Taco Bell with her?
No. Will you stop telling people this?
She, like, orders.
I used to.
Everything.
No, really? I don't. I just.
How close to you ordering? Is it closer to saying.
If I go somewhere and there is a.
And she sees
and
it.
There is a beef option and there is a chicken option and there is a fish option, then I will get all of the
you
options.
Get all three?
And I will take a bite of each. Because,
really?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Hmm? Wow.
Yeah.
So you and your
you
wife.
Should be either broke or really fat.
And she's not either. You and your wife, you're going out. On the night on the town, what do? You go to a nice restaurant. You go to Gino's East. What do?
We go to a restaurant. Yeah. No, nowadays. We used to go out to the bars and see music and stuff like that. But you know, she's old now, Chick.
See, I think Larry, your favorite meal of the day is probably a nice big breakfast.
How'd you know that?
I could just tell.
You seem like a coffee guy, too. Yeah.
No, I'm not a coffee.
You're not a coffee guy?
Not a coffee guy.
No way.
But, my wife doesn't drink coffee either.
But really?
Neither one of We never even owned a coffee pot
until
my brother-in-law bought us.
And now it just sits in the pantry.
Yeah,
and
for when we have parties.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thanksgiving,
you make coffee,
then they
right.
can have coffee.
Some famous guy just said the other day during an interview, they offered him coffee, and they... Oh, it was David Letterman being interviewed by Jerry Seinfeld on
Comedians Getting Coffee.
And the lady came over and said, how would you like your coffee? And David goes, black. And Jerry goes, I'll have cream and sugar. And David goes, oh, really? You're going to muck it up with all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, true coffee is black coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True story.
And that's the way you
That's
always,
the only way I drink it, yeah.
Now.
Black coffee.
Now.
And see, Larry's probably got, you know, some sort of potato, some eggs,
yeah.
some bacon, maybe
sausage, bacon.
A pancake in there, maybe.
Oh, I like that too.
See,
yeah. I'm with you because I
waffle.
I want salty and sweet when I have breakfast.
Really?
Oh yeah. I like a little sweet too.
Yeah, yeah.
The greatest invention is in these hotels. They got the waffle maker now. Have you seen this?
The waffle iron. Yeah.
I have seen the waffle.
That's
iron.
The greatest invention ever. Free.
Yeah.
You go in, pour in your batter. Turn her over, you get a free waffle.
There's nothing better.
Turn her over.
There's nothing better than that. A big good waffle maker. Nothing
fresh,
better.
Hot, free.
Oh, waffle. Yeah. You remember that waffle maker that used to be here?
Yeah, I know where it is now.
Do I have it?
It's at your house.
I know the day.
Is it at my house?
I almost called bullshit
maker.
On
I
you.
I stole the waffle maker.
It's like a $400 waffle maker that they had here.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to, Justin, I'm going to borrow this. And I'm like, bullshit.
Here's how nice this waffle maker is.
It's ridiculous.
After this podcast airs, I'll have to bring the waffle
You'll
maker.
You'll have to bring it back.
Because they'll find out.
They'll find out. Jason and I, when I worked here, we had Waffle Wednesday. Jason and I would do Waffle Wednesday in the morning. We'd come in early, make waffles. And then Tom's like, I don't like waffles. Like pancakes, and then I had to stop. We never made waffles again.
Really?
Yes.
Matt and I did pancakes and some bacon last year.
Yeah.
We should do that again.
You should do that.
There's an iced tea maker in the closet now that nobody's going to use for this.
We haven't used the iced tea in a while.
They got pancake maker.
No.
They have
They
have donut makers that look like waffles.
I was
waffle
at
irons.
A Holiday Inn
mm-hmm.
Express, and they have, you just push the button, and it out of the batter's already in there, and it comes like a minute later to pancake
no
pop.
Way.
Stop
fresh
it.
Pancake.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you just keep pushing.
I saw that they have cupcake makers that look like waffle makers. You just pour the thing in there and you close it, and 10 minutes later, there's cupcakes.
They still have, have you seen the, it looks like whipped cream, but it's pancake batter.
Yes,
you
we saw that.
Squeeze it out.
We tried that.
Awful.
It is awful, but
it
you know
good?
What? No, we got it. It was organic.
What?
In an aerosol can. And I was like, how is this possible?
Huh.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem.
It can't be organic. Right.
Aerosol can. Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know. ingredients are organic.
Yeah, it must be the ingredients.
Plus, they got to put a lot of preservatives in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your favorite breakfast place, Lair?
A chain?
No. No, it's got to be some little mom and pop diner. Those are the best.
Well, I like the Walker Brothers in Chicago. It's okay. Good.
Have you ever not lived in Chicago?
Well, I grew up in Dwight, Illinois, a little farm town.
Oh, okay.
But when I was like 19, I moved to.
Okay.
Moved to Chicago.
So I lived in LA for a little while, and then because my sister lived out there, I moved out there, and then I was going to start comedy, but I never did. Then I came back home when my dad got sick, and then I moved to Chicago. And
when you were 19?
19, here I am.
So you're a comedian who lived in LA that never had an audition.
Right. I never started tried. Comedy right. out there. No, okay. I hadn't started it.
Okay. What did you do when
I
you
was
were
a vendor at Dodger Stadium. Oh. It was the only job I could get at the time.
That's cool.
Selling what?
Get Dodger this. Dogs.
Dodger Dogs?
Tab.
Are you serious?
Tab. Oh. Joni drinks Tab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so does my wife.
Oh, really?
That's all my wife drinks is Tab.
Who else drinks Tab? I feel like I know somebody else that drinks Tab.
I don't know, but those two people are an exception for Tab drinkers. They seem like nice and reasonable people.
Most Tab drinkers aren't.
I can't. I don't. I feel like you have to have big bangs to drink Tab.
A lot of bangs. Maybe it's the original jean jacket.
It's the original diet drink.
Is it really? That's the diet first
diet
Ride drink.
And Tab were the first two.
Really?
I'm going to say
Diet Right and Tab.
Yeah. I remember when Tab started running commercials on Laugh-In. It was like, what the hell is this?
It's the original Diet Coke. It's made by Coke.
Is Diet Right? Was it Diet RC, basically?
It's Diet RC.
I love RC Cola.
Those are the first two.
Love RC Cola.
I thought Diet Right and Royal Crown were different things.
I don't know.
No, we just told you that it wasn't.
I don't think so.
I think you're wrong.
Royal Crown makes Diet Right. I think it's.
We'll have to look into this.
Right. Well, it's like Mr. Pibb. Who the fuck makes Mr. Pibb? I don't know who makes that.
Pepsi does.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because Dr. Pepper is Coke.
No. Are you sure?
That's opposite.
Dr. Pepper is
bought it. But I thought Dr. Pepper was independent.
I thought Dr. Pepper was totally
It's like independent with Schweppes or something.
I think you're
out of your damn mind.
Schweppes.
Well, you would know, Flavor Cowboy.
So here's why. Let's go back to the Dodger State. You're just walking around with one option.
Tab.
What?
Yeah. Selling Tab.
So who's playing?
Did you sell Tab and tampons in the same box?
Get your Tab and your tampons.
Get your pussies.
Get them. Get them while they're hot.
It was in 1976.
So who was playing for the Dodgers then? Ron Say and...
Yeah. Garvey and...
Steve Garvey. Oh,
yeah, they had a good team.
That bunch. Did they win the World Series? They might have won the World
Series. Yeah, right in there they were winning a lot of World Series.
Yeah. So did you make a lot of money selling Tab?
Nah, I'd sell like about 5 cases a game, which was a good, they said, for Tab.
Yeah.
But you're in L.A., everybody was on a diet, so all the women bought.
Bought the Tab.
Sure.
But you didn't make much money. You bought the case for so much, and then you made whatever.
So you're like an independent contractor.
Yeah.
So you'd give the guy $10 for the case and then
charge. Whatever it was. I can't remember. Yeah. And then
charge
sell it
hopefully
for...
double, and then you'd make $10.
Right.
Well, that doesn't seem like... That almost seems like slavery, almost.
Yeah. Well, and then Tab is the bottom. I just started. The top, you get the beer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And they had the famous peanut guy. Do you ever see that guy?
Oh, throwing the peanuts?
Yeah.
Like 40 yards or something? It was crazy, yeah.
He would throw the peanuts.
Yeah, I heard about that guy.
Across the stadium.
How do you get the money?
That's what I didn't get either, how he would get the money.
Yeah, he'd show off by throwing the peanuts behind
his
back.
Like in the upper deck, and then you got to go all the way up to get the money. I never understood how he made any money.
I mean, I've been to a sporting event where you pass, $5 or $6 down the line, but you don't. You don't go from upper deck to lower deck.
Maybe he had a Jilly. Is that what that guy's name was? Frank Sinatra's guy?
Jilly.
He had a guy Jilly. Who did the money. Did the ran around all over and did the money.
That might have been it. I feel like you're making
Big
fun
Jilly.
Of
me. No.
Jilly?
Any run-ins? With
there was
any...
Jilly's in Chicago was a nightclub named after.
After that?
Jilly.
Named after Sinatra's Jilly?
Yeah.
Is that what it's named after?
It's closed now, but it was Jilly's. That was.
Huh. What was that?
I think he had money in it originally. Yeah.
Huh. Like what do they call those? Like a Man About Tuesday. What do they call those people like that are there? Like
there's a man. There's a girl. A girl Friday.
A girl Friday. I don't know what that is.
A man about town. This is how her mind works. regular podcaster.
So he was, but he was like his right hand man, right? Like that's just what he did.
Yeah, he would go get him stuff, and
he's like our Jason.
No, that's not true.
Jason,
he's like an intern,
right? The paid intern, kind of. Yeah.
But he gets paid,
yeah. Huh?
So, did you ever run into anybody famous at Dodger Stadium?
Oh, no. No, I don't think I did.
Nobody?
You didn't get the good section?
No, I don't think I did. Yeah, I wasn't down in the lower boxes where they would be, or upper. Yeah, I never did meet anybody famous.
What made you go to L.A.? I mean, just to be with your sister, to hang out, or did you have plans?
Chicago was cold.
Chicago. Oh, no, I wanted to be a comedian.
Oh, you did, but you just never started.
So I thought I didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a little town. I didn't know. So I went there. I figured L.A., but I never got the balls to do it until.
Oh.
So would you go to the comedy clubs and look and want?
Yeah, we went to the Comedy Store. And
Who was on while you were there?
Or you... Tom Dreesen.
Uh-huh. Another Sinatra guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Walker. There's a lot of, they were all big at the time, too. Jimmy Walker.
Dynamite.
Oh, Dynamite.
Yeah.
Steve Landisberg.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Who I always liked.
He just recently died. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He never seemed to age either.
I don't know who that is.
You won't know this. Barney Miller.
Barney Miller.
Curly hair, glasses. Miller.
Oh, he was funny.
He was also on Head Case recently, the Alexandra Wentworth Showtime series.
If I Google him, I'll recognize really him.
Yeah, you'll recognize
Steve
him.
What?
Landisberg.
Steve Landisberg. Landisberg. Was your sister in comedy?
No.
Oh, no.
So you go out there and you go, I can't do this. I'm going back to Chicago.
Well, my dad got sick.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's what.
And he was like calling for me, so that's why I went back.
Okay.
And then I found out there was a comedy club in Chicago that had just started, the Comedy Womb, where comedians are born.
I just heard somebody else say that.
Hold
the
it. Started. Stop
yes.
it.
Yes.
If you're listening to the podcast, push pause.
Comedy Womb.
The actual name of the facility was called the Comedy Womb.
Yep.
And their slogan was,
where comedians are born.
That's hilarious.
So like is that where you got the balls to do it?
That's where it started, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yep, that's where
you
started.
So did you like MC and then middle and then, or did you?
Well, it was a showcases back then. So there'd be the good guys were the MCs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd put on like 10, 12 guys, 20 guys, whatever.
So was this the start of the boom?
Before the boom.
Right before the boom, right, and then it went boom. Yeah.
There was the Comedy Cottage and the Comedy Womb.
Oh, my God!
And that's where we would go. And you do like 10, 15 minutes.
What was the cottage's slogan? Did they have a lame one?
Nah, I don't think they had.
Breadcrumbs to comedy. I think Hansel and Gretel when I think
the cottage. In your comedy cottage.
I guess.
But that's before the boom, yeah. You work for free for a year before they pay you. And then
you work free for a year
at those clubs before they paid you.
That's then, a racket.
We got a place for you on the podcast, Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look up racket in the dictionary. It's comedy.
And
Chicago.
Then they give you like $5 after a year.
Yeah.
$5 a night
or 10 if they thought you're really good, you could make 10. That was the top.
Holy moly.
Because they were just showcases.
Right.
Then you would do stuff outside, like guys would book one-nighters and stuff. You do.
So, did you have a day job?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I got a job at a amusement park.
Oh, that's right.
An indoor amusement park, old Chicago.
What did you do there?
I did games.
That's
like
right.
The milk bottles.
That's
and
right.
I became supervisor, but at the first, I think I told you this one time before.
We were in the back seat somewhere, driving somewhere. They were telling me this.
Like milk bottles. Yep. You know the milk bottles with the three.
And there's lead.
Yeah.
And there's lead. Literally,
yeah, but
one
the one
of the
guy, one time, this guy's like, "It's a rig. It's an electronic rig. He's got a pedal that he pushes. It's all wired."
Right.
I go, "You fucking idiot." I go, I picked up the bottles and threw them at him. I picked up the whole stand. I threw the whole fucking thing.
Right?
Well, there's no wires. It's leather. It's lead, you dumbass.
Was that your last day?
They made me supervise.
Oh, oh, supervisor happened.
I moved out.
It was about time somebody yelled at these customers. What the hell?
Oh, you, yeah. You took a stand for the product and the games. Yeah. You cared.
Well, he's sitting there telling everybody. It's like, you fucking idiots. Oh. It's lead.
It's like the guy that heckles at the comedy show.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck is the point?
Same thing.
Yeah. It's...
Didn't you get heckled one time, Larry? As the famous story.
Uh-huh. This is one of the, I think there's like, I know, I remember there's like,
I know one.
There's a couple of.
There's one big one that but
there's famous heckle stories.
There's,
you know what I mean?
This might be the most famous heckle story. And I think that it's kind of a myth as to who actually.
How it went down.
Who actually was the comedian on stage and where it happened. Right. Honestly.
Let's clear it up.
This is the guy and when you hear the story, you go, it's Larry Breeb. I'll be damned.
Yeah.
You want me to tell this story?
Yes. Please.
I've never told this story on the air or anywhere, I don't think.
Really?
Anywhere at all? I've heard it. Well, we were talking
about
this before.
We've heard it secondhand.
We've heard it secondhand, and some other guys have talked about it on the podcast.
Some other people have talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know for sure who the guy was.
They never are.
I'm the guy.
You're the guy.
He's the guy.
Let's hear it.
All right. I'm in Omaha.
Oh, already wrong. I thought it was Pennsylvania.
Did you really?
Omaha, Nebraska.
And, I'm doing some bit about planes, like crashes, you know, just a generic type thing. And this guy is like, oh, I'm like, what's the matter? My mom died in the Sioux City plane crash. So he killed the crowd. So I go, let's dig her up and fuck her.
There it was.
That's the one we heard.
So did you get the crowd back?
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people say I left. I did not leave. I stayed longer. I did extra time just to try and get them back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the crowd left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would assume.
The guy left.
The guy left.
I think the guy obviously left.
I feel bad about really because I guess she really did die, but yeah. I don't know.
But that has nothing to do with you.
I know.
Or your joke.
Yell that out, kills the whole thing.
We had Bob Schneider, he's a singer-songwriter, on the podcast a couple episodes ago, and he said, yeah, when you're on stage, you know, it's not like you're totally different, but you're...
It's a different version of you. Different.
Things jump into your head, and then just like, oh, I'm going to say this, you know, and I would guess especially a comedian, I'm going to, you know, be outrageous.
Yeah, you're going to say, right. Just whatever comes.
It's kind of like drowning. You're going to grab at anything that pops into your head.
That's what you do, know? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Larry.
Well, that's the funniest. I learned that from a guy, Orlando Reyes. He was the greatest with hecklers. And that's it. You just go with what?
Yeah,
whatever
right.
Don't
comes,
try
yeah.
to hold it back. Just go with whatever.
So has it happened?
And
did
that's
anyone,
usually the funniest.
Did anyone ever dare heckle you again? Or?
Oh, yeah.
People still heckle.
Yeah. Oh, they still heckle.
I don't know what that
is. Well, that's the thing, but that's the best way to do it is that you just shut them down immediately.
Yeah,
and if they walk out, you're doing yourself a favor. You're doing everybody a favor if that asshole leaves. But if you try to engage them, have you ever been in a show when someone tries to engage a heckler? Oh, my God. It just goes downhill. It's the worst thing you could do. Yeah. It's horrible.
Isn't the key to get the crowd against them?
Yes.
Well, that's the thing.
Well, usually they're against, yeah.
Maron on his podcast a couple episodes ago was in Chicago, and he had great shows, he said, but there were a couple shows that the people that were heckling him were obviously Maron fans, but they had had too much to drink,
mm-hmm.
and they're like 4 feet from him wherever he was playing. And all the rest of the crowd can hear is,
yeah.
But it's right in Mark's face. And Mark, he just leveled him. He lost his temper a little bit, and he said he regretted it. But, I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, I just don't – because I go out, and I don't have an act. I don't have jokes that I remember, and I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'll be off in 5. And so I actually try to talk to people.
But you engage them
I hope.
But it's not a hostile – it's not a hostile exchange.
No, I hope it isn't hostile. But sometimes it is. You know, it's like, hi, where do you work? None of your fucking business.
Nobody has ever said that to you.
Well, yeah, I guess they will
now. Yeah, now that's what's going to be.
Most hecklers aren't hostile. They're just drunk. I don't get mad or take it personal, but I just say whatever comes up.
See, Larry, that's
comes
the thing.
Up.
I take everything personal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's true.
Like, I have another one where I was in Jersey, and it was my first time in this club, Rascals. And, you know, it's all the big Italians and all
mm-hmm.
So this, so it's stereotypically New Jersey, right? Okay.
So this guy is heckling the MC, and he's just a dick. He's heckling everybody. Mm-hmm. So I get up there, and I used to do a thing. I'd have, you know, he's got a sport coat, mm-hmm. and I'd have my hand in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What's in your pocket?" I go, "It's your mom, and I'm finger fucking her."
Oh my God.
And the place went crazy.
Yeah. I guess
and that
so.
Shut him up. And from that day on, the doorman who mm-hmm. hated hecklers.
Yeah.
And they, but they loved me from that. I'd come in every year, a couple times a year. They'd be, "What's in your pocket?" That was it. I was the king after that.
Oh my gosh, Larry.
But it worked because he was such
shut him
an
down.
Ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If they're really being asses, you can really slam.
And for some reason, hecklers are never clever. They just yell shit.
Yeah,
they just yell shit.
They say the same thing.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not. And so
it's
often,
like Freebird at the comp. Play Freebird. They say the same shit, and they think, like, this is really funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After it's been said a million fucking times. Play Freebird.
Yep.
Oh, Larry.
How often do you walk people ever much? I mean, I know, like Chick said, you're pretty edgy.
But
you're likable. That's the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not too much anymore.
That's good.
Was there a point or a place that you went that they would come up and say, "Look, Larry, we're not... But, well, I guess they knew what they were getting, right? I mean, when did you develop this persona of, "How you doing? Fuck you guys," you know? Or
I don't know.
Because I can't see a 19, 20-year-old kid doing
that.
Yeah,
I didn't always have it. It just developed.
Yeah, it just...
Yeah.
I don't think the audience would be on, because now you're like, I don't want to say curmudgeon, but it's like, you're a lovable, crabby guy.
But I always had that sense of humor. It just took a while. I had to grow into it. I used to always tell people I wanted to be old, and they thought I was crazy. But I'm like, I'll be funnier when I'm older.
Older, yeah.
Well, that's tremendous foresight. Gosh,
yeah.
And now, aren't you?
But then ageism came in that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where a lot of these clubs are booking young people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that part.
Right.
Oh, so
I missed that.
You were busy getting older, and then
there was like, "What the fuck? They won't book you anymore because you're old."
But now I'm funny.
Now you're funny.
Yeah, I'm funny. I'm still funny.
Don't you? You're funny. Oh, you're funny. What? I hate asking this hack question, but I want to know. What was the first joke you did with this persona? You thought, "Oh, okay, this is gonna really."
Oh wow! I don't even know what. I can't.
It's more of an attitude built over.
You know what it is? I started house, and I'm seeing in Zanies in Chicago, like in '82, mm-hmm. and it was really tough crowds,
mm-hmm.
and that's when it really started.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take any shit.
You know, that
was kind of a defense. It
you
developed
get,
into an act.
Right.
Yeah,
and that city is. I want to say more than any other city in the United States, Chicago is Chicago-centric. If you're not from Chicago, if you don't know about Chicago things, if you're not hip to Chicago ways, they automatically know and devalue you, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Yes, that's
they're Ditka and the Cubs and
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, I mean, so that's probably why you could do that and get away with it and be almost beloved, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a Chicago attitude, dude.
Right, right.
You jag off, you And I picked that up from hanging around.
Yeah, because you said you weren't, you grew up in a teeny tiny town, right?
But I used to, it's like the characters like that. Like, we used to be at the Comedy Womb was an Italian, the guy owned it was Italian, and he was like a fence. Like they would like
a true like would take stolen items.
Like
you'd
come
money.
In and he goes, "Larry, you like suits? Yeah, come in with me. Come in the kitchen." He'd have a whole rack of suits, like the guy's making pizza right behind him. Suits.
Right,
$500 suits for $100.
Yeah,
did you get one?
Of course.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And then there was the cook who was like the show would be going on and he would come out just during the show. "Hey, Steve," don't know where Steve. "Steve, what the fuck? Let's have a cocktail." And I kind of got to think, and he was just like the rudest fucking guy.
Yeah, right, right.
But he was basically nice, but he was just like had no sense of,
right.
"What the fuck?
Right.
That's why, what the fuck's going on, Steve?" And the show would be going on.
just yelling.
Let's have a cocktail.
Gosh.
And you were trying to be the MC.
Yeah. And you couldn't slam him.
No.
Or you'd be in a trunk somewhere.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think? Really?
Oh, yeah.
How close you ever gotten to a trunk situation?
Well, the owner of this place was one night we were having a meeting with the comedians and him about our money or whatever. And he was really drunk. He pulled out a gun. And this one guy, Orlando, he was going to kill him. He pulled out a gun and he was really drunk. And he's swinging it. I mean, we dove under the table.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll kill you.
What started the argument? I mean, just
money or something. Wanted more money.
Oh, my God.
Money, yeah. And women.
And he's like, I'll kill you and say you tried to break in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the closest.
Well, that's pretty really close.
That's pretty close.
I haven't had that.
Scary.
No.
That hasn't broken out of a euchre game.
I've never had a gun. There's never been any.
That's not true.
Well.
That's not true.
I was going to say there's never been any gunplay in my family, but that's not true. My uncle at the time pulled a gun on my grandmother at Christmas, actually.
Wow.
Was he an in-law or was it her son?
No, he was...
like married to her daughter, or it was her son?
I'm going to say boyfriend.
Married, oh, it was a boyfriend.
Married to my mom's sister.
Okay, there you go. Look, when you said uncle at the time,
uncle
I was like...
Uncle to be.
He was, yeah. Oh, he wasn't, yeah.
And it wasn't an actual...
It wasn't a... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was... I don't think I was 10 years old.
Really?
10 years old. No, because that's when we'd always go over there for Christmas.
But when you grow up and when you live in Chicago, you know, anybody has like mob related stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's something like you talk about trunks. My wife's best friend's uncle was found chopped up in a trunk. Really, literally.
Holy moly.
He,
I thought only this sort of stuff only happened.
No, he was a hitman and she wasn't close to him or nothing. Mm-hmm. Pulled a hit, a famous hit, Ken Ito, who they tried to kill because they thought was going to talk on him.
Right. Yeah.
And they shot him in the head with a silencer.
Right.
But it was faulty, so it didn't kill him. So he lived to testify. So Jasper Campese, this is the, because he blew the hit, it was chopped up in the trunk, was found. And that was my wife's, like her best friend's uncle.
Oh, my gosh.
So I guess the lesson of that story is if you're going to go out on a hit,
kill somebody,
you're
going to
kill somebody, you better, you're
going
to end up dead yourself.
Don't do sloppy work.
I think that's the first rule of being a hitman. Yeah. No sloppy work.
Hey, what's up with your little town up there? It seems to be teetering. Chicago.
What do you mean teetering?
Chicago. He's from Chicago. Chicago's the best city in the face of the earth.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Well, it is a great city, but the finances, your mayor's a little... you know,
well,
he's pissing off the teachers.
Crooked,
yeah, I know. You always have crooked mayors. Why do you guys vote in?
Politicians.
Yeah. How come you guys tolerate it so much? I don't get it.
What are we going to do?
So you're all a product of the mob.
That's right.
Okay.
They're not attacked. Are you attached to the mob?
No.
If you are, you're my favorite comedian.
No.
You can't tell. It's the first rule.
You can't tell. Don't talk about it.
But I know a lot of comedians that were like... Diana Lyman, who's passed away, she used to tell the stories. Her uncle was in the mob, and they would be playing cards.
Yeah,
like in the morning, like 4-3 in the morning. And she tells the story. She was a little girl; they were sleeping, and they had a cuckoo clock.
Right,
cuckoo, cuckoo.
Right.
So the uncle's like, "You better shut that fucking cuckoo. If that cuckoo comes out again, I'm blasting it. That damn cuckoo." So it comes out, cuckoo. He tucks out the gun. Like in the morning, with the kids are sleeping, and the mother kind of, what the fuck are you doing with that? And that's how she grew up, like this.
Sounds about right.
I can't imagine.
It's like everything in Goodfellas is so real to me now.
It's real. It's really real, all that.
Well, yeah. How do you think they come up with it?
Well, I mean, I would think they would, you know,
you read
exaggerated.
The book? Wise guys, the book. I mean, it's a true story, that.
Pelleggi or whatever.
That is a real, that's a real guy.
Yeah, right. Henry
right?
Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, they changed all the names, but I guess all that stuff happened.
Huh.
It's really true, yeah.
I love that movie.
Kill You for Nothing.
Oh, I love that movie.
They say that guy who played Tommy, the you know, Pesci.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They say he was even worse than they showed in the movie. He was just completely
just
psychotic.
Yeah, just
he'd
crazy.
He'd shoot you for anything. You know, what are you looking at?
I don't know how they did it in that scene where, oh, am I a clown?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think you're fine. I don't know how they were able to convey such a feeling of intimacy on behalf of the viewer. Like, I'm as uncomfortable watching that scene.
That's true.
As
That's
if
true.
Someone I love or were concerned yeah. about, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how they That's did that, scene. But it's, mm-hmm. it's amazing.
That's a great scene.
It is a good scene.
Man. We should get Joe Pesci.
What is Joe Pesci doing?
Snickers commercials.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did do a Snickers commercial. I yeah. love him.
Oh, what are you, a hand model? Fuck you. I know. Are you too good to talk to us? Is that it? Oh, you're pretty.
I don't think he said that.
I don't think he said fuck in the Snickers yeah. commercial.
They had edited it. Yeah.
They had to edit it. I'm sure he said it. He just didn't air it.
You think it's on YouTube with him saying, oh, these so fucking great. Snickers are great. Snickers are a good candy bar. I got to tell you.
Larry, who are you aware how much you're beloved by other comedians? I mean, do you know, would you say
like
you know
the term comedians, yeah. comedian? Yeah.
Yeah, well, a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
No, like if you're in town and a couple of buddies of mine or whatever, we'll go, oh, Larry's in town. We'll go, oh, yeah, we got to go see Larry.
Or just the one, yeah. they yeah. enjoy working with Larry. You know, mm-hmm. even Ron on our staff, you're one of, you know, oh, Donnie Baker.
Donnie
well,
Baker.
No, he's
yeah.
one of your,
oh, yeah, yeah.
When we you're first, one of his favorites.
When we first started going out hosting shows for Bob and Tom, like in 02 or 03, you and me and Tim Cavanaugh
Tim
was
Cavanaugh.
Yeah, it was like heaven and hell or something. And
you did one of the first ones. Yeah.
Because
really?
Brian asked me who I wanted to take out, not go, you know, not take them out, but work with them on the road.
Thank and it, you.
It, and I, the two of the nicest guys, best
he
guys to work
for a couple months.
yeah,
everybody. Nice. I said Tim Cavanaugh and Larry Reed. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh?
And it was the most delightful backstage.
I mean, yeah, we're not. Tim's a great guy.
Oh us. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim's a great guy.
I feel like the wheels fell off by the time I was hanging out backstage.
It was a good hang, but it was getting to the point where you would get Tim Wilson in one corner, Drew Hastings in
oh
another
my
corner,
God.
Tim Bedore over here, and it was just like, "What are you? You're an idiot. No, fuck you." You know, I'm not saying who was saying what to who,
mm-hmm.
but it was the safest place to be there. Well, you know this. That's
was side
we
stage.
Did one
was
somewhere where they
or,
and,
on stage.
I think it was Tim Wilson and Hastings were in a car together.
Oh God!
And I'm like, could you? That GPS must have been like, "We're here. Get the fuck out. We're here.
yes.
I'm tired of listening to this shit.
You guys yes. are here. Get out of the car."
yes.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're passionate like people.
Oh, no.
Pontificate, let's
yeah.
say.
Well, that's the thing is that you'd have, let's say between the show rep and myself, and then say you had six comedians on one of our bigger shows, yeah. and then we would probably have three cars between all of us. Mm-hmm. And so deciding who was going in which car
right.
was the worst part. And so it was like, we'll leave at 5 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
to get a good car so yeah. that you could get away
no,
from everybody you didn't want to ride
there
with.
There were hushed conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you riding with?
Who are you riding with?
No, where's Tim? What car's Tim in? okay.
I see. That's where I'm.
I love Tim to death.
I'll ride in a car with Tim Wilson all day. That's never bothered
and
me.
And then there's Zany, who's never off. At those things.
That know. Is correct.
He's on the minute he walks in the door.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed at my house. He was on for 4 days.
Was he really?
Oh.
did you say?
It's true.
Did you ask him?
Yeah, right. He doesn't.
Huh?
Did you ask him to turn it off?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what does he say?
I can't, chicky baby. I can't.
Oh, God.
Calm down.
That's the worst response.
But when he was at our house, he wasn't like that.
When he, for whatever reason, when he was around girls, pretty girls, he doesn't do that.
Oh.
Well, actually, now he...
Go ahead.
Now he kind of does, yeah. Now mm-hmm. he is kind of
well,
on and
he's a divorcee.
Sharing his videos and
he's divorced.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Recently divorced.
But he always really liked, I mean, you guys always really, you know, were friends almost first before.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I mean.
No offense, but you weren't friends with a lot of comedians until you and I became friends and I said, he's actually not an asshole. True or false? That's well, true.
No, that's true. And I'm kind of ashamed of that. I mean, I had the reputation of being an asshole for quite a long time.
Yeah. That's okay. I
guess,
was your
I guess
gateway.
I'd like to make a... I was never an asshole to you. Larry,
no,
was
I never
it?
Was.
No, good, no, good, 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 good.
You didn't look him in the eye when you said that. you turned away.
You were always nice
I just
to
like to... I would like to get where I'm not an asshole, but I'm strong. You know what I mean? I don't know.
They're gonna
walk on you.
You don't want people to walk on you.
I don't know what that looks like. Yeah. I guess that's the next step.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being an asshole, but
and
I don't want to get walked
on.
And
you're not being an asshole. Yeah.
That's tough. That's called being an adult, mm-hmm. I think, something like that.
I think so.
Being mature,
confident. I remember when we did that taping, the Bob and Tom thing in Anderson.
In Anderson.
Comedy
mm-hmm.
Central. Yeah. When I got to the hotel, Bob Zaney was sitting in the lobby. He's just like waiting for people. Because I was like the first guy there, and he's just sitting there waiting for him. And he just sat there as everybody came in so he could, like, insult.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I went right on the offensive because he goes, you look tired. I go, I'm fucking tired of you already. And then he's, like, offended. He's like, oh, I'm like, I'm going to start before you start.
Yeah, he's, if you catch him off guard and he's one of those people where if he's not ready, he can dish it out, but he can't take it all
the
time.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That's absolutely true.
That's true.
But that's if it's how only, they usually are, yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're the guy, that's why the comedians are on the stage. They can dish it out, but they can't take it.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should do an off-the-air comedy tour.
We should.
Off-the-air?
What? What's wrong with that?
I'm going to put that on the list of all the things we're going to do with
well,
our...
I tell you what, Jess is going to take care of that.
Yeah.
No, Jess will be taken care of this time instead of having to do the taking care of.
I don't care. We're not going to do it, so we're not...
Well, who would be on the show?
Who would...
Okay,
let me
get this straight.
Your dream show. Sure you can.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Tommy Jonigan?
No.
No, Tommy?
Strike one.
No.
First one. No.
I wouldn't do it that way.
Jimmy Pardo.
No.
You're not participating.
I'm not participating in this. I don't want
Larry
to.
Larry Reeb. Yes.
No.
No, I just think that, I don't know. I wouldn't. I just, no.
We can't even get the three of us.
We barely could.
We barely got to the state fair, I recall.
No, we got there just fine.
Jason drove. We were fine.
Did you know the backup recording he made of the state fair was off mic? Did you know that?
It was.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
I tried to play it back on the thing. It won't play.
You are such an ass when it comes to stuff like this.
What?
You are such.
I can't wait to go over there and go look, and they'll play normal.
Right.
Hey, you know what? I'm not being an asshole, but I'm going to stand up for myself.
You can. You can't wave your finger in the air like that and appear strong. Yeah.
In a pink shirt.
In a pink shirt. Let's do that.
Before we go, Lair. You love smoke a cigar. I know that's sort of a little hobby. You like blues music, right?
I'll tell you this. You know who's he is? He's a really great guitar player.
Oh, that's right. I'm not a great guitar, but I do it as a hobby.
Really?
I just play it on the line.
That's what I was looking around for. I was hoping we had a guitar, but I don't see
one. I was
going to
say, did you travel with one? Did you ever, do you have like a little one you travel with?
No, he travels with one. He plays it in his room. But
yeah, that's what I mean. But is it a small one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
A little lamp.
Is it a Martin or an electric? Or?
It's electric. I got both. I got a Martin and then I got an electric one.
Huh.
A little traveler.
So did you do that instead of, because you don't. I know this about you. You haven't really succumbed to any sort of substance overuse over the years.
No, I like to...
like a beer every now and then.
I drink a little bit. I used to drink a lot more, but...
Yeah, but other than cigars, that's about it,
no
right?
No drugs. I never did that. Cigar.
Cigar.
That's it.
Cigar.
I like a cigar.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't meet many women who like cigars.
Really?
No.
I think I attributed...
Did you grow up with your dad or your uncle?
My dad smoked cigars, but never really around us. But I had an Uncle Sonny, and I was a happy memory, that smell.
The only women I know who like cigars grew up with their grandpa, their
or
uncle.
Somebody smoking a cigar, yeah. Yeah.
And that's how I get laid, chick.
Cigars.
If they have a happy memory, it's like, oh, you smell like my grandpa. Yeah, come here with me.
Well, thank you, Larry Reeb.
Thank you.
How does someone get in touch with you if they want to come? They want you
UncleLarryReeb.com.
UncleLarryReeb.com.
There you go.
And I was surprised I could get an uncle name with all the perverts on the internet. I thought they'd all be taken. But I still could get it, Uncle Larry.
Well, is that a perv? Do you think uncle when you think perv?
Uncle's kind of
a pervy thing.
A pervy thing.
Come here and sit on Uncle Larry's lap.
Yeah.
Yep, that sounds pretty perverted.
That's the whole point of my act.
There
I'm
you
like,
go. I like it.
If our buddy Marty would have let his crazy out, he would be Uncle Lair.
That's probably close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
I think
that
could be Long Lost Brothers.
You think so?
Oh, the...
Marty, you know Marty.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever had your picture taken together. But
yeah,
you guys
we look a lot.
You,
look,
you know, he lives up in Chicago now.
He does?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a program director.
He's a program director. I don't know what the name of the station is, but I need to get on that. We're going to be working there. We're going to be doing mornings there. I should probably remember the call letters.
You are?
No. Stop saying that.
That's how the great things happen. Rumor.
Really?
That's how World War II happened. I'm not kidding.
You were in Chicago for a little while. A
little bit. Thank you, Larry.
They didn't give it a chance. No, really. It was on like 2 months. To the sky, my back to and the then wall, it's my like, oh, high, that's long, right?
Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
They have a short attention span up here in Chicago.
Thanks for downloading the Off the Air podcast. We'll see you next time. Well, we won't see you. We'll talk.